back to the Jeff Poor Show to Talk 106.5. We'll be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That is how you communicate with the program, Talking Raccoons, Veteran Service, or whatever else is on your mind. So please utilize the text line. Still come on the program. We got Todd Stacy in about a half hour from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. And then we'll close it out with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, she gets the distinction to be the first guest on the program today. Our good friend running for Attorney General, Catherine Robertson, is with us. Catherine, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. And don't ask me about raccoons, please.
Yeah, I'll try not to. Raccoons are a tough topic to really understand, but we'll do our best to steer clear of that. So beyond that, how is the campaign going?
Campaign is going well, burning it up out here. Was down in the Gulf Coast yesterday and back up in North Alabama today, about to go see my friends over at the Cattlemen's Convention. So just running across the finish line here till Tuesday.
Well, and so, you know, we've, I mean, it's been a long journey, but what do you do left? You had, and I guess you kind of got a little bit of this maybe the last few days of the primary, but here it is, the last few days of the runoff. What does that look like for you going forward?
I think the goal right now is just to get your folks out to vote. I mean, I've got a great base, a great coalition that we've built out there of grassroots folks. I think the goal right now is just to keep them excited, to get them out on Tuesday. I mean, you know, there it just seemed like the 19th was a lot more front of mind for folks, and the runoff's a little bit different. So just trying to make stops at the places where I really have a strong base of support and just encouraging them, not only for them to vote, but to get their friends and family out as well.
Well, and we'll certainly be watching come Tuesday night. Let's kick it off here. We talked about this at the debate Monday night, some of the things, but sort of your view of this attorney general's office. Where do you see yourself? Should you win it? What are you going to try to do on day one? What are some of your priorities if you are elected?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I've got priorities still left for my time as chief counsel, right? I've got, you know, 6 months left in as Steve Marshall's number two. And I think that right now we are really excited about this redistricting decision and want to squeeze some more wins out of the kind of analysis that the court gave us. You know, I've talked a lot about our state's desegregation orders that are still in place in some of our school systems. I think the Calais case is going to make it much easier for us to get those lifted. So there's some work that needs to start, you know, immediately in the wake of this redistricting win. But long term, I mean, one of my first orders of business has got to be to recruit young talent. We have got a lot of attorneys in our office that are going to retire probably when the administration changes, that, you know, have gotten their years of service in. And I've got to get the kind of young talent that has great conservative principles and is excited about this kind of work to come and help me deliver wins for the folks.
Well, something, you know, it always comes up with the attorney general's office, and it's a, I guess, a frustration of mine because, but in some places you have local prosecutors and they won't prosecute certain crimes, be it, we talked about it the other night, particularly with absentee ballot, the hijinks. But you know, gambling, there's a lot of stuff that a local district attorney is not going to pursue. Maybe it's political, ideological, philosophical, whatever, that falls on the attorney general's office. And do you see that as something where if you are elected that you got to step in here and enforce the law? And I think there's a lot of examples of that. How do you feel about doing that?
Yeah, I mean, look, my goal is to motivate locals, you know, to do their jobs and to do it well. If they need training, if they need assistance, if they need resources from our office, you know, we want to have the kind of relationships where it's a collaboration and a partnership. That's the goal. But certainly that's not going to be the case in every county and every judicial circuit. And, you know, of course, we're going to have to be willing to step in. Now, that's not to say we've got loads of attorneys that have nothing else to do other than to go do the job of a local. We don't have that. And so we're going to have to hold locals accountable. You don't just get a pass. But we're always going to step in to make sure that the law is enforced. And I want to ensure that we've got the resources to do that as needed.
The another thing, you mentioned it just a moment ago. Okay, so we have a sort of we're at a stasis here with the redistricting, and we have a path forward through the end of this election cycle, but there's still going to be at least proceedings here regarding Milligan and approaching that, but getting things to where they fall in line with the Louisiana decision, that's going to fall on your office. Talk a little bit about that.
Look, my vision and my hope for the long term when it comes to redistricting is that we are defending a 7-0 map. 6-1's fine for this cycle, beats the heck out of 5-2, but that's not what I want to be fighting for. 6-1's the status quo, and I just look forward to working with our legislature to make sure that we have 7 Republican seats, and we'll defend that to the end. We've got the basis now to do it between the decision we got for Alabama, the decision Louisiana got. There's precedence now to make sure that we have the map we want. I continue to believe that Terry Sewell's district is a racial gerrymander. It just is. And so if we want to rid our state of that altogether, let's do it. So that's what I hope. That's what I hope we're fighting over is a 7-0 map.
Well, and to get to the 7-0 map, it's going to take the legislature, but I think they're going to lean on your office if elected to really come up with the right, give them the right tools to put the right things in place, that if it should go to eventually the federal court, that they are on firm legal ground, and you feel like you're at a place to advise the legislature if it comes to that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a partnership. It's, you know, I've always tried to establish that. That is not to say that we don't have our disagreements with the legislature. We do from time to time, but it's got to be a team sport. And I think we're all on the same page about what we want the future to look like here for our congressional districts. We've delivered some very clutch wins here over the last couple of weeks, not just in the congressional maps, but in the legislative maps as well. We've got the playbook now. We've got the roadmap, and I'll do whatever I can to help them get that across the finish line.
Talk a little bit. I know people were paying attention, but last night the state was set to execute a murderer, and you know, the Supreme Court stepped in and put a stay on it. But this back and forth sort of happens sometimes. But your reaction to what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, we were very surprised by the lower court's decision in that case. We have carried out several nitrogen executions now with no issues. Courts have green-lighted us, and then all of a sudden they didn't. Federal courts are difficult to predict. I think it's a good thing to note for people that think we just execute at will and, you know, that these cases aren't hard. They are hard. There are so many hurdles that get put in your way. So we were a little surprised, definitely disappointed, but not at all deterred. Mr. Lee will be executed, and it's just a matter of timing to figure out how and when, but we don't give up. You see a lot of states out there, even red states, that really just give up on some of these cases. Very few states carry out as many executions as we do. Our folks are relentless. We feel like we owe it to the people of Alabama and to the victims' families to get these things done. And so we will. It's a setback, but we're not done.
Joined by Catherine Robertson. She is running for Attorney General here in Alabama on the Republican ticket. And I brought this up the other night, but for our sake of our audience, we'll walk through it. Should the time come that we have a Democrat administration and make it the transition from what we have now, a friendly administration with the Trump administration, to potentially a hostile one with a Democrat administration. I mean, we saw it during Biden and we saw it during Obama, where the administration wants to impose its will on a lot of red states. How will your office counter that?
Yeah, well, we have spent the last couple of years and we'll spend the next 2 years getting ready to protect our state from the worst case scenario. I'm not predicting a worst case scenario, but my thought has always been Republicans waste the good times. We get too comfortable and we don't do enough to protect ourselves for the future if a Democrat were to come back. And so that's what this Calais thing is all about. That's what the redistricting fight is all about. you've got to do what you can to insulate yourself through the court system and through litigation to make sure that you're clawing back every piece of federal state sovereignty that you can from the federal government. That has been our mantra for a long time. I've repeatedly sounded the alarm that Alabama is so federally dependent on funding that we sell our sovereignty and we have no protection when the bad days come. And so we're doing a better job of that, but it's something that, you know, assuming, we can go ahead and assume we're going to have Governor Tuberville. It's something I want to talk to him about because you just don't see Congress providing the red states a lot of relief there. You don't see it really being a topic. The 10th Amendment is just, you know, totally forgotten. But we've learned a lot of good lessons under Obama and Biden. And I just want to make sure we are doing everything we can to insulate Alabama from the worst case scenario in Washington. And we got to get those wins right now.
When you pull it, I'm sure it shows up on the radar, but the illegal immigration and some of the consequences that come from that, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and so on and so forth. But really the state's role here, and this has been something that the states had to deal with for decades now, but working in concert with the federal government on immigration. And really, if you're Attorney General, then what would be the state's role in combating illegal immigration?
Well, the number one thing that I want to do is I want to sit down with Tommy Tuberville on day one and ask him to sign a 287G agreement between our Department of Corrections and the state of Alabama. A 287G is an agreement that basically allows for dual enforcement that, you know, allows the state or local law enforcement to essentially be deputized to help enforce immigration laws. Our state has missed an opportunity on that. It's something that our partners at ICE very recently brought to our attention. But if we want to focus on getting the worst of the worst out of our state, they're already in our prisons. And we are missing an opportunity to take advantage of those agreements to get them out as soon as they've served their time in Alabama. That would be my number one priority. And I have no doubt that Coach Tuberville will be willing to do that alongside me.
So here's the question, and I'm going to apologize for not really having a grasp of it, but it's come up throughout this campaign cycle between you and your opponent, Jay Mitchell, but the dark money and that, why does any of this matter to the voter out there? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, I have received a great deal of support from the Republican Attorneys General Association and their network. National conservative groups are organized often as 501c4s. There's nothing untoward about it. It's a big donor privacy issue that is more prevalent at the national level than it is in Alabama. These are longstanding relationships that I've had for 20 years. And without those relationships and those friendships, my campaign would have never gotten out the door. I'm running against a guy who's the pick of the Inside Montgomery crowd. He's the pick of the BCA, who's heavily funded him. You know, I wouldn't have had a shot. He raised $650,000 in a state Supreme Court race where he didn't have an opponent. He won that election, obviously, with no competition, and put all $650,000 of that into this race. I would have been written off, as you well know, had I started out with $0 in the bank. And so these friends that I've had over 20 years that have been a part of me in my legal career and in the conservative legal movement came to help me out. And there's nothing untoward about it. There's nothing secretive about it. But I think you can also see that I have an amazing grassroots coalition that no other candidate running for anything has built. Farmers, cattlemen, foresters, sheriffs, NRA. And so I'm proud of the support. The AG plays a big role inside the state and a big role beyond the state, and I've got the support both places.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up on this. Let's say this is your closing pitch to voters out there, and I don't know how many people are undecided at this point, but there may be some. You're trying to woo them to your side. What do you say to them?
Listen, I'm an eighth generation Alabamian. I'm from a rural county in Alabama. My entire career has been public. I have a very public track record over 10 years under the leadership of Steve Marshall. I know that office like the back of my hand, and you will not find anybody running for any office that is more dedicated to winning for our state and that can be more effective faster. And so that's what I'm asking for your vote for: elect an attorney general who's not going to have a day one, but a day 3,651. It'll be another day at the office for me to go out and work hard for the folks of Alabama.
We managed to make it through the segment without any raccoon talk, so kudos there. But it was,
and I'm from Selma, Alabama, so you know it would have been fair game.
It was pretty far down the list, though, to be honest. Folks want to find out more about your campaign, can you point them to a website or a page or something?
Yeah, KatherineForAG.com, KGR27 on X, and you can find me on social media, Katherine Robertson for Attorney General.
Hey, Katherine, thanks for making time for us, and best of luck to you on Tuesday.
Thank you, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers.